Can you turn me like?
So,
Cody!
Sorry, one more time. Come in on one. One, two, three, four. Cody's Podcast.
Thank you very much, Sexual Chocolate, for the Cody Podcast drop there. Very nice of them to do that. Okay, I got to apologize off the bat. The audio in this is a little wonky. But the conversation is pretty good. This is Brandon Mercer. When I first started on Good Day, he was my original EP on the show. Very, very nice guy. He's now working over in the Bay Area. But he tells a couple of really good stories, including the one about how a on-air person on the show that's currently on the show was actually traded for a quart of wood. It's pretty good. Once again, I apologize about the audio. His stuff is a little bit overmodulated, but hopefully you can bear through. Here he is, Brandon Mercer.
This is Brandon. Can I help you?
Hey, Brandon. It's Cody.
Cody, I want to thank. Cody Stark, how are you?
Good, man. How's life?
Life is good. I'm at a picnic with my kids' Little League.
Are you really?
I'm going to walk away to a quiet place. Hang on, okay. It's good to talk to you, Cody.
It's good to talk to you, man.
Cody and Good Day, I forgot. Okay. I cannot believe Good Day is 20 years.
I know. It seems like yesterday. When did you start working for Good Day? I was trying to figure this out.
2004. I was living in the Bay Area. Tech TV had moved to L.A., and I got a call from Brent Bader, and I came up there, and I did this, like, nine-hour interview where we never got lunch or anything. I ate from the vending machine, but we just kept talking and kept meeting people, and it was fantastic.
I was about to say, that sounds like a very Brent thing to do. I'm going to and then I'm not going to feed you, and then I'm just not going to let you leave.
Exactly.
So you, even though they didn't feed you for 9 hours and they let you know what was going to happen to your life going to this, you still accepted the job, huh?
I still did. You know, it was so obvious this is going to be a cool place because, you know, I met Marcus Allen, I met Brent, I met some of the old managers like Wendy Fontes, and the old ET, Eric Amorti, was still there. I mean, he had a new job he was going to go take, but he was, you know, helping train his successor, and it was fantastic.
Oh, that's
and Mary
cool.
McClary, of course, was she was always the mom, kind of keep everything together, keeping everybody sane, and she was great.
Now, being in the Bay Area, had you actually seen the show before this interview?
I had never seen the show. I had I don't even remember if we had any clips online at that point. I think it may have had some video online, but he said, "Just come up. You gotta meet everybody and see what it's all about." So I came up there and I was hooked.
Do you remember anything that was on the show that day?
Oh my gosh. I was so worried about trying to impress Brent and trying to sound like I knew what I was talking about in front of everybody. The biggest thing I remember about the show that day is there was a fax machine on the set. The giant old fax machine right back there, we used to get faxes from viewers, and you knew it was on its way out at the time, but they were still reading faxes.
Were they really? At 94?
They were. 2004, we had the fax machine. Oh, I think we phased out the fax machine when we moved the studio to West Sacramento. I think that's when the fax machine finally spit out its last page.
That is hilarious. Now, I remember the first thing you ever said to me. Would you like to hear this?
Yes, very much so.
I will never forget this. I was originally hired to work at CBS 13, and then they combined the two stations. And your weather guy, Tom, called in sick, I think. And so you needed an emergency weatherman. So you guys called us and said, well, that guy's basically on our staff anyway. Let's bring him over. So I hopped in my car. I got lost because that's what I do. And I ran into the station. They put a microphone and IFB in my ear and everything. And they said, okay, 30 seconds, you're going to go on. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I saw the weather graphics and stuff were done. And they shoved me on the weather wall. And about 5 seconds before we went on, you got on my ear. And the first words you ever said to me were, ICR4. To this day, I don't know what you were trying to tell me.
ICR4. It was a Stockton shot. ICR4 was Stockton.
Oh, it was Stockton. you talked so fast, and I was like, I have no idea what this crazy man is saying in my ear, but he said something about ICR4. I have no idea.
That's awesome.
And then I remember, I think I made a joke about that, and then I turned, and I saw that Slimmy was behind the set running the teleprompter. And I stopped what I was doing. I was like, do you guys know that there's a little man stuck back there? Like, oh, yeah, it's a prompter operator. I'm like, that's cruel. You keep him in the dark behind the set? That's horrible.
Well, I forgot about it. It was happening in the dark. It was freezing back there underneath the air conditioner vent. They had, like, two blankets and smoke communication with anybody behind the set. A little cramped cubicle behind the set.
That poor guy. I'm going to have to track him down for one of these. I bet you Slimmy's got some great stories. Great stories.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so let's get into this. Let's get into this. What were some of your...
Yeah, we've been recording the whole time, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're going. What were some of the famous favorite bits and stuff that happened while you were the boss of this crazy machine?
Well, one of my favorite moments in TV, it was the perfect storm of what happens on good days. And we had Marcus Allen, you know, get ready to go into Great White Shark Tank. You know, no big deal. Something he would normally do. That's not a surprise. But the Shark Tank, where these great whites were swimming, was going to be off the coast on Farallon Island. So I had worked for like 3 months to set up the fishermen and find the time when they were going to go out. And we had the camera on board. And we're getting ready. We did a live shot from the San Francisco Bay. We had a little portable microwave gear that was pointing towards the tower on the mountaintop, relaying it through our sister station in the Bay Area back to Sacramento. And despite all that craziness, it actually worked. And we got a shot from Mark going out. So he gets off of the Farallon Island. And we actually are able to get a shot. We're in the water. We've got an underwater camera rigged up, an AB switch with the photog, Dave Grassoff, on board this shark vessel, can switch back and forth between the underwater camera and the upstairs camera. We've got a picture going, and we're relaying this back to the coast and relaying it back to Goodness Sacramento, the most complex live shot we've ever done in the history of the show. And all of a sudden, the K-Mix transmitter dies. We got snow. Like, we're just about to go live to Marcus Allen, who's about to swim with a great white shark, and nothing but static. I call up Bruno Cohen, who was the GM at the time, and currently my boss in a different city. And I said, Bruno, we lost the signal. And I was talking to Brendan, like, can we go on CBS and simulcast? And I don't know why, but somehow I convinced Bruno to let us simulcast this crazy Goodness Sacramento show on CBS. So your KMAX is in static. So we switch over to CBS. I have no idea if any viewers joined us for CBS, but we interrupted the early show, CBS morning show had at the time, these, you know, straight lift news reports, and interrupted it with Marcus Allen going into a shark tank. And we pulled off the live shot. We got it done, and I don't know how many complaints there were at the switchboard at CBS, but we kept Goodness Sacramento on the air. And that was kind of the mentality, is no matter what, keep Goodness Sacramento on the air.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
You know, I gotta show this other one. So my wife is pregnant with our second child.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everybody knows that at some point Brandon's going to go on paternity leave and then be leaving. And she calls me. It was about 6:30 a.m. She calls me and says, I think I'm having contractions. I said, okay, I'll be right there. Is it urgent, or do I have just a second? So she's like, oh, you got a second. No problem. So I say goodbye. I say, hey, I'm checking out. It looks like the baby's coming. I'll see you guys in a few weeks. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching the show, and there's no audio. Like, what's going on? There's no audio. And Brent says, oh, don't worry about it. Get out of here. I know. There's no audio. So I go into the audio booth. There's smoke coming from the audio board. The audio board is on fire. The audio is completely cut now. We got video. We're still doing the show. But the audio board is on fire. There's people running in there with a fire extinguisher. I figure, okay, they'll figure out the fire. I go to the control room. I say, stay on the air. I go to the angle. I just walk on set. And I, what are you doing? Like, it's okay. Nobody can hear us. You know, it's gone. All we have is video. So start writing down what's happening. So I handed Marianne McClary a dry erase board, and she writes down, no audio. And then she says, wait, isn't your wife supposed to be having a baby now? Weren't you just leaving? Like, yeah. I call my wife. She says, don't worry about it. Deal with the audio. So we got the dry erase board going. Then Tina and Marcus Allen start typing. We take the computer on the air, and they're typing things to the viewers. We put it in a double box. We got typing on the left, live camera on the right, and we just keep doing the show. So we just keep going, doing live shots, and we type in information. But basically, pantomiming good to Sacramento. Yeah. People started writing us checks. We got checks for a new audio board that were sent into the station. We donated them to charity, I think. And then the next day, we got the audio boards after the show was off the air, of course. The next day, we looked at the overnight ratings. Our ratings went up by a full point without audio. So that was a good day. You kept the show going. You don't go back. You don't run reruns. You keep the show going, and our viewers stuck with us and even sent us checks.
Oh, my God. So ratings were higher without any audio?
Yeah. Oh, and then eventually I left, and my wife had the baby.
Now, I remember, because I was still on the other side, I was still at CBS at the time, and I remember watching you guys when it was on fire. And we were dying. We were just dying. We were like, what is going on? And then we saw the thing, you know, oh, the audio booth's on fire. And I saw, you know, Mark holding signs and stuff. And I must admit, I was part of that extra viewership because we were laughing so hard. We're like, what is going on? That was kind of the fun part.
You didn't come to the wedding.
It was
like a train wreck.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. I think that one and before I started, when Mark did the stunt where he rolled a car. That was two that I got to watch as a viewer before I worked for you guys. That was crazy.
Yeah, there were some dumb. We had a weekend. I don't know why we conceived this, but we had an announcer that tracked the opener for the segment, and it was something like, "Let's pretend we're trying to kill Mark, but really not causing a serious bodily harm." Week, and we ran this open all week, and we started the week with something silly like, you know, wrangling lions or something. So we ended the week with the let's try to pretend we're going to kill Mark, but not seriously cause any bodily harm. With the rollover of the car, we had like, I think it was seven different cameras inside the car, outside the car. And of course, it's good day, so everything is live. I mean, it's not like we're going to tape it and edit it together. It was all live. So we had live feed for all the cameras. I think we destroyed two of them. And we set up this thing and we rolled the car. And Mark walked out pretty much uninjured. The funny thing is, Mark actually finally did get injured. He actually fractured some vertebrae in his back doing a stunt like a year later, and we did the stunt. It was great. He was jumping off a roof or something. Didn't even know he was injured until he called the next day and said, "Yeah, I went to the hospital for some back pain and I fractured some vertebrae, but it'll be okay. No big deal."
Well, there was a time Chris Burrows hurt his foot. I hurt my back doing extreme pogo. I think Mark had his vertebrae broken or something. And then I think Alan Sanchez was hurt as well. But I just remember going to the MediClinic.
Oh, and Courtney had a hangnail.
Oh, yeah. Courtney had, and that stopped everything. That stopped everything. But I went to the little clinic, and the lady that works there actually has all these like pictures on the wall of all of the Good Day people that have been injured. Her name is Miss Z, and I had to go back there. I did a live shot. It was after you had gone to Fox, and I think maybe you were actually in the Bay at this point. I did a live shot where I was Cody the Elf, and I was dressed as an elf, and I went with the West Sac Police Department, and they wanted me to help them deliver presents for boys and girls, right? And I'm dressed as an elf. I've got tights on. I've got elf shoes on. And one of the police officers says, "Hey, can me and my dog take a picture with you?" And I said, "Sure, sure." He goes, "My wife and kid love you." I said, "Sure." So he's standing there with his dog. And the other police officer says, "Well, let me get my dog, too. We'll get all four of them, all of us together." And I said, "All right." So he gets his second dog out. And he goes, and the dogs start fighting. They start barking at each other. Rawr, rawr, rawr. And I'm getting a little nervous. And they're like, "No, this is how they play. It's no big deal." I said, "Oh, okay." So they take three photographs. The first photo's fine. Second photo's fine. Then the PIO guy wanted to jump in, too. And he goes, "Let me get in the picture." And he jumped in. And the dog to the right of me goes crazy and bites me in the leg, right? It bites the elf in the leg, Brandon. And it chomps down.
You can't bite an elk.
I'm the elf. He bites the elf. And I'm jumping up and down, and I'm freaking out. You know, I'm like, like this. And then he bites me again, and I can't get any traction on my feet because I have elf shoes on, right? And jingle bells are flying all over the place. And so finally they get the dog off of me. They yell some German command, and it stops biting me and stuff. And I look at Dave Grasshoff, and I was like, "Please tell me you were rolling." And he said, "No, man, I was too freaked out. I was scared." I was like, "Oh, dude, I could have opened up, you know, for Letterman. I could have done top 10.
So they take me to that clinic, and I swear to you, that lady has all these pictures of all of us. So she sees me come in there, and I'm like a bloody mess. And she's like, "Oh, great! I didn't have Cody the Elf for my collection."
She's got Cody the Elf.
She's got all of us. She's got Mark and she's got Alan. Oh God, it was so funny. So did we?
Half the stuff that goes on Good Day behind the scenes, it doesn't even make TV. It's even more intense. It's actually on TV.
Do you think that we actually took years off of your life with all the stuff that we were doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm 40, but I look like I'm 72. So yeah. Well, it's certainly your life and Mark's life. I don't know. Miriam McClinery is getting younger, though. I don't know how she's doing it. She's gotten younger each
Doesn't
year.
She look fabulous?
Like Merlin.
She looks fabulous, man. She's doing great. Okay, so how long did you work for Good Day? How long were you there?
It's funny. This is the most formative part of my career. I think back of all the stuff I've done. And Good Day is what I always remember. But honestly, I think it was only 2 years. And then I got pulled. It was me and Chris Burrows and Stephanie Cruz, and we got pulled to launch this competing morning show. And what crazy company, we launched a competing morning show on CBS that tied back into Good Day. But I really think it was just about two and a half years.
Really?
But most important, memorable, amazing years of my entire career. Nothing I ever do will be quite like doing what we did. The craziest stuff we put on the air with the people that cared about each other and cared about the viewer so much. It was just incredible.
Well, it's been fun doing these interviews because I'm talking to all these people. Like, well, you and I work together, but I talked to the original director, the guy that said, "Take camera one," you know, and it was interesting to hear people say that same thing, Brandon. They say, you know, I was here for this amount of time and I've never experienced anything like it since, because it is a weird but fun, wonderful, strange little thing.
It's so unique. There's just nothing like it. And I think the reason why it's so successful is that the viewers are kind of part of that process, and they know it's unique, and they're part of the inside jokes and the history of it. Some of the viewers have been watching from the day it went on the air. I think one of those directors, too, we should note, I think one of them is like a famous Hollywood director doing blockbuster movies, but he still remembers Good Day Sacramento.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, actually. It's kind of interesting how where people have gone. We got producers in New York now. We get producers in Los Angeles. We get directors that have been around the world doing feature films. Of course, Joe Carnahan, I guess he's probably the most famous.
Yep.
He's done all those films and stuff. It's pretty cool. Let me throw out some names, and you tell me some stories, okay?
Okay.
Give me a good Brent Bader story. Give me a good Brent Bader
story. Oh, my gosh. Tony, I could talk for the next 3 hours about Brent Bader stories. Brent Bader is the architect, the creator of Good Day, probably the most brilliant person to ever work in television. And he loved Sacramento, and he loved his show and the people on it. And I would do anything for Brent. The entire staff would do anything for Brent. My biggest Brent Bader story, I was in on a Sunday. Came by just catching up on some things. I was working the Sunday, and I was chatting with Chris Burrows, who was doing weather at the time. And we said, "Hey, I think Brent's here." And I saw him out back, and I couldn't quite figure out what he was doing. So there's always a camera or two or three cameras in the newsroom. So I grabbed the camera, put the camera on my shoulder real quick, and then turned it on and told the director and Chris, "Hey, take a, I forget what REM it was, like, take REM 27. And I had on the screen a shot of our manager, the big boss, outside chopping wood. He was wearing his lumberjack clothes, and he was chopping wood in the parking lot. Just swinging. He had no idea we were watching. So we kept going back, and this is one thing Good Day is great at. You keep going back to it a bit. You do it once, it's kind of funny. You do it again, it's kind of funny. You do it a third time, it gets stale. You do it a fourth, a fifth time, it just becomes absolutely hilarious. So we kept going back to Brent Bader, still chopping wood every block. And the thing was, he had no idea that we were there with the camera taking shots at him the whole time. And then I went out and he filled my truck with firewood, even though we were making fun of him on the air. He still gave me all the firewood.
Oh, he did. That's so nice. That's nice. That's a great Brent story.
Yeah, he did. That was always about the firewood. He had a gas or he had a fireplace at his house, and Brent was cheap. We knew Brent was really cheap, so he could always find a fallen tree. Every time he would watch in the news a fallen tree, And then sure enough, 10:30 shows over. He's out there at the fallen tree with PG&E, you know, taking some of the scraps to go home and burn in his fireplace. So you would always have a firewood to burn and get some money. And there's one current staff member on the Good Day Sacramento that he hired away from me when I was working for your competitor. And he hired the staff member away, and I said, look, that's fine. You take the guy. He's really good. I saw big potential for him, but I'm glad you found a spot for him. But let's make a trade. I think I need a good truck full of wood in exchange for this this reporter. And he says, all right. I come home, sure enough, perfectly stacked on my porch between two banisters on my porch, stacked just me as can be, was the most firewood I've ever seen, and it literally lasted me for 2 years.
You traded
a reporter. And the reporter is still on the air there.
It's Sean Bennett.
Sean Bennett.
You traded Sean Bennett for a quart of wood.
And you know what? Brent got the better deal because Sean Bennett is a great asset to that show. But the firewood was also wonderful.
Oh, God. That is hilarious, man. So what was it like when you went, because you went to a competing station, you went to Fox 40, and you were the news director.
I did.
So you had your morning show and stuff, and was it weird, like, seeing those people that you used to boss around on the TV and stuff? What was that like?
It's such a strange thing. The TV world is very, it's very incestuous. It's very, there's always cross-pollination. So TV people go across town all the time. And I gotta say, it was the hardest thing for me to go over and launch a show competing with Good Day Sacramento. And, you know, we worked hard. It took blood, sweat, and tears. And for a few years, we got to the point where we were kind of catching up to Good Day. And, you know, I was really proud when we beat Good Day for two ratings periods, and then it never happened again after that. It was very hard, and you know, trying to beat Good Day was such a challenge, and we were really just kind of an alternative to Good Day, but the show didn't do all that well, and I think they're now that I've gone, I think they're a little lower in the ratings, and Good Day is back up, which is good because I hate competing against my baby. Good Day is my baby; it always will be.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, let me give you another name. And then you tell me a story.
Right.
Okay, great. Let's do Chris Burrows. Let's do Chris Burrows.
Chris Burrows. Well, I mean, first thing is when we went out to the homeless camp and he brought a 12-pack of beer out to the homeless.
I totally forgot about that. Oh, my God. Well, were you just watching that in slow motion going, no?
You see things on the preview monitor and you think, this can't possibly go on the air. And then before you even react, Good Day, they're so fast, they see this, it's on the air, and we don't know what to do. We're watching him walk out with a 12-pack of beer for the homeless, and he had been elected mayor of this homeless encampment. The homeless guy said, well, we're going to call Chris Burrows the mayor. So the mayor thought, well, let's go out and make some friends. So we brought donuts and beer, and I think the beer was when it crossed the line. He went out there, and he got plenty of interviews. He did the interview that we weren't quite sure to make of it. I think there was a few long talks with Mr. Burrows when he got back with Brent Bader and the and Bruno Cohen, the GM at the time. It's one of those things, you never know what's going to happen. And should you do it? Should you not do it? I mean, it's hard to figure it out when it's all live in real time because Good Day is always live.
Oh, my God.
And Chris, you know, my best story is Chris Burrows. And this is the story of actually how we got injured. Another Chris Burrows injury. We thought, okay, well, we have an idea of something we want to do, and let's see if our audience will help us. And we had run a video of these giant pumpkin races. People are getting into these giant pumpkins, and they're putting an outboard motor on them, and they're racing them.
Uh-huh.
So Chris and I hatched this misguided plan that, well, we could probably do that. So it was 6 o'clock when all the day is kind of set by 6 o'clock. Whatever exciting things are going to happen, it's all set in place by 6 o'clock. So we had this idea. We said, hey, we saw this video of the pumpkin races. We want to do it, too. If you've got a giant pumpkin, write in, call in. I think we saw the fax machine. Fax in, and we'll come out and get your giant pumpkin. So by 7 o'clock, we had a giant pumpkin. And then we said, well, shoot, we need a body of water to put this in. So it's okay. If you've got a body of water we can use, we need a body of water to put the giant pumpkin in. And I think we need an outboard motor. And we didn't quite get it together by 10 o'clock. We let it go for the next day. We teased ahead for the next day. Hey, join us tomorrow. See what the heck happens with the giant pumpkin. And, of course, we had the line trucks out there. We saw the pumpkin. So after the show, I think Burrows went out there with a machete, a chainsaw, and a sledgehammer, and somehow hacked into the giant pumpkin, got it on a truck, he got the guts out, and he had this pumpkin by the next day. We were floating in the pool. He had a outboard motor on the back, and as the show closed, he got into the pumpkin, and he was able to pilot his pumpkin around the pool until he injured himself. I think getting out of the pumpkin is when he injured himself. But that was the giant pumpkin races, thanks to crowdsourcing with Wonderful Good Day viewers who can pretty much find and do and create any magic.
That is hilarious. That is so funny. And that's how he injured himself. I didn't know that's how he did it. Do you know
one of the many times? I mean, he was like a 70-year-old man in a 30-year-old's body. He was always getting injured. But.
Do you know that Tracy Ketchum used to have a Chris Burrows fund? She had a Chris is going to get me fired fund, and she would take all her tax returns and she would add a little bit of her paycheck, and she would put it into this bank account because she was convinced that she loved Chris and she thought he was brilliant, but she just knew he was going to do something to get her fired. So she wanted a rainy day fund for that day.
Did you have one too?
She said, I think she bought a BMW when he finally went away. He went to a different market. That was hilarious. Oh my God. Let's see. Well, I think we're about, yeah. Okay. Let me ask you, let me throw you another one. Marianne McClary, of course, she's been there the longest, I think. Can you give me a Marianne McClary story?
Well, Marianne was just, she was such a great person to work for. She's tough. Marianne's a tough cookie because if you give her a script with some major topos that's going to make her or her coworkers look bad, she'll let you feel about it. And she's that quality control. She's that USDA inspector that's rejecting the steaks before they go to the consumer. She's out there saying, no, this is not good enough. We need better. Her spelling is incredible. I thought I was a good speller and grammatician, but nothing like Marianne McClary. There's not stories about Marianne McClary because she's what holds all together.
Yeah.
Well, except for that one time. There was one time where she couldn't hold it together. And when you get Marianne McClary to the point where she loses all composure, all quality control, and just cannot stop laughing, you know you've succeeded. And that was actually one of the core goals of all the co-anchors. Chris Burrows was one. He said that if he could get Marianne McClary to laugh uncontrollably, he knew we'd succeeded. So we had the zoo in. And the zoo would come in and bring animals off and on. That was no big deal. So they brought in a few different animals, and this last animal was pretty benign, just a bird. They brought the bird out, it sat on the set, and all of a sudden, this bird saw something. I don't know if it was its own reflection in the prompter or what, but it goes in the middle of the set and starts looking at the screen, and we thought it was great. We're zooming in, and all of a sudden, it starts spreading these giant, with these 6-foot wings across the entire set, just flapping and flapping and flapping, bouncing around, and the wings are whirling around, hitting Marcus Allen in the face, pushing Tina McCool off the set, and Marianne McClary just loses it. She cannot possibly get composure. She cannot read the information about the zoo. And this bird is sitting there flapping its giant wings, and tears are coming down Marianne McClary's eyes, and I think eventually we just stayed on the bird flapping and then eventually went to break. She came back and kind of got her composure by the next half hour.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I have the video, too. I still have the video at home.
Oh, my God. All right, brother. That was fantastic. We should just end right there because that's like one of my favorite stories. I love that. So tell the people what you're doing now. What do you do for CBS Corporation now?
Well, I work for Cohen and Brent Bader on Good Day. And Bruno Cohen is now the GM at KPIX5 and KBCW in the Bay Area. And I work for them. And one of the things I get to do is I've been able to help get Good Day Sacramento on the air in the Bay Area as well. And it's on Sundays right now in the Bay Area, and boy, I would love to expand that to 7 days a week in the Bay Area as well.
Wouldn't that be great?
Show.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't it?
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Well, brother, it's good talking to you. Thanks for taking a little time and sharing those stories. I really appreciate it.
Cody, I miss you guys. Give everybody a big hug from me, and it's great talking with you.
All right, brother, I'll talk to you later. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
Okay, there you go, Brandon Mercer. Sorry about the audio. We did it over the cell phone, and it just sounded kind of rough. But it was so worth it to hear that story about Sean Bennett being traded for wood. So great. All right, thanks for listening. We'll have more of these to come. We're going to get to some of the behind-the-scenes people that maybe you don't know, like the original director of the show, which was kind of a fascinating conversation because I had never met this guy, so that was kind of cool. And a current director, Doug Mays, who's one of my favorite people. All right. Thanks for listening.